I want to talk to you today about God's blessings. I want to talk to you today about how God's blessings are taken and basically gambled with in a sense. First of all, I want to talk to you about, say this. This is a blessing from God. This is God's word right here. This is God's map. This tells us everything we need to know about life, everything that God wants us to know, everything that God wants us to do. And it also teaches us what we need to do in order to have salvation. Now, we are blessed with this. There are thousands of years of people who would have died to just see this book, just a glimpse at this book, just to read its pages just once. But in this time, in this age, we are blessed to have this book. There's no guessing here about what God wants anymore because it's right here. So it's really up to us to sit up there and take His word and do with it as He expects us to. Unfortunately, today, churches are falling. Churches of Christ, by the way, falling by the wayside. Add man's words and add man's doctrine into God's word. Some people have started to interpret God's word in different ways, saying that for about 2,000 years now, we've all been reading it wrong, and all of a sudden, they got it right. You know, and it seems like we, and I'm going to say we, now if you're not part of this we, don't get mad at me. This is just preaching to the choir, if that's the case. But if you are part of this we, you can get mad at me, but at least think about what I'm about to say. Because we take God's blessings sometimes, all the things that God does provide for us, but that's not good enough. And it usually gets us into trouble. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith, Proverbs 15 and 16. Humble Christians are content with God's blessings. Humble Christians are content with the food and the clothes and the shelter and the transportation. Humble Christians know that we live to serve who? God, not ourselves. It's hard in this world today to be content, though, with all the temptations going on out there each and every day. You got the TV. You got the radio. You got movie stars and TV stars who are sitting there telling you that your eyes aren't right, that your hair ain't right, that your body ain't right, you're driving the wrong car, and oh yes, you're in the wrong religion. They might even say that you are heard and been taught the wrong interpretation. But all of the things that I just listed as far as hair and body, car, house, religion, all of those are blessings from God. People are always trying to tell us that that's not good enough. Instead of seeking God, we want to seek more for self. We want to take what we have and make it even better. Now, just to let you know, I'm not talking now, if the Lord has blessed you with a college education, and you're a doctor or you could be a doctor or whatever, and you're working at Burger King, then I say you should be able to step up and make an improvement. I say that God has blessed you with that education and you should use it. That's not what I'm talking about here when I'm talking about taking God's blessings and making it better. Let's look at Adam and Eve. And I always like to start at Genesis for some reason. There's so much that we can get from that. Let's look at Eden. We always say that that is paradise. I doubt if there's any place on this earth right now that anything like what Eden probably was. Didn't have to work for nothing. Didn't have to do nothing. The fruit was right there. All you had to do was pick it. The climate must have been great because they didn't even have clothes on. paradise at its best. In chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree, of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, has said, you shall not eat of it, nor touch it, lest ye die.'" Now, we know what God says about sinful things. We know what God says about not touching them. But all of a sudden, all it takes with some of us sometimes is just somebody to say, "That's wrong." Verse 4 says, "Then the serpent said unto the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Wow. And then some people say, "Oh, I won't? Well, that's good." And they'll just believe that. But to sweeten the pot a little bit more, the devil says this, "For God knows that in the day you eat of that, of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." God had blessed Adam and Eve with everything. Everything. You couldn't ask for anything more than what they had. But that wasn't good enough for them, apparently. Because they were just told that God had been lying to them, and there was much, much more, and all they had to do was do as he said, and they would find this out. You know, that's just like the lottery when you think about it. You know your odds are astronomical. You know that you could be struck by lightning before you ever won the lottery, but yet we'll play it anyway. And you know why we play it? Because they say it's fun. They'll splash it up there. You got a chance to win. They'll even show some pictures of some people who actually won. And not only that, folks, but even though you do lose, you still win because the schools are going to be paid for, the roads are going to be paid for, the bridges are going to be built. That's what they tell you. And then we turn around and believe it. And this is after we've been to church and told the Lord, "I trust in you, God. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Whatever you give me, that's what I'll have, and that's what I'll be blessed with." And then we turn around Monday morning and we go and play the lotto or the scratch off. Somebody might even sneak over to the casino. Using God's blessings, give them what God took and took that and trying to double down on it. To see what, you know, and then some people sit up there and say, "Well, maybe the Lord will bless me with the winning numbers." As though he's going to have any part of that mess. They make it look good. They make it sound good. But in the end, you win nothing. As a matter of fact, the schools don't win nothing, the roads don't win nothing, the bridges don't win nothing, because every election time, every time you turn around, they're saying, "We need more money for the schools. We need more money for the bridges and the roads." So you just pay twice for something that's not even going to happen. You have some people, they make it look like you were lied to all along. Some people go around saying, "You don't need to be baptized. All you got to do is call on the Lord and let him into your heart." Doesn't matter that Acts 2 and 38, doesn't matter what that said. It doesn't matter what Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16 says. It doesn't matter what the whole book of Acts says about baptism. It doesn't matter what Peter said, that baptism now saves you. No, all you have to do, if you listen to some of these people, just call on his name and let him into your hearts. God has blessed us with this book right here. God has blessed us with his son as well. And like I said, we say we put our trust in God, and then we go out and we do contrary to what his word says. The Lord has answered prayers for everyone in here. That's if we'll admit it. He has blessed us richly. Look at where we live. We live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a country where a person can take a plastic bag and roam the streets picking up what most of us call trash, throwing out our cars, throwing at the gas station into the trash cans and stuff, and make $20, $30, maybe even more a week. What other country can you go to, walk around picking up other people's trash, which is borrowed deposits, by the way, picking it up, taking it, and making money? You can't do that nowhere else. You can't go to Mexico. Mexico, you're lucky, from what I understand, some people only make $20 a month. Yet you can go walking around Dowagiac, you can go walking around Niles or Buchanan or somewhere and pick up $20 maybe in a day. What other country can you do that? That's how rich we are here. This is a great place. And God has blessed us with it. So why do we turn to man? Why do we turn to man's ideas all the time? Let's take Asa, king of Judah. Now, he started out great in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, verse 2. It says that he started out great. He did all the things that the Lord would have him do. He got the people of Judah to turn away from other gods and to turn to God. In 2 Chronicles 15, 16, and 17, it even says that he had put away his mother. I mean, not put her away. He took her, he dethroned her from queenship because she was worshiping idols. In 2 Chronicles 15, 16, and 17. God had been with him no matter what his problems were. There was a time when there was an army that was ready to invade. And he cried out to the Lord and prayed to God. And God answered his prayers. God routed those people. So why is it, you ask, or I ask anyway, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, when we look at verse 7, the Lord had sent the prophet to talk to King Asa. Because what had happened was Israel had came in, and they were going to invade Judah. First, they were going to try to block them off, and then they were going to invade. So instead of Asa turning around and going to the Lord as he had done before, he decided to do something different this time. He decided that he was going to go to the king of Syria. And he took all his gold. He took all the gold from the temple, the Lord's house, and he gave it to that king. Come save me. And, of course, that king came down on Israel from the north side, drew their forces back. Asa and his kingdom was saved. So he thought. Asa had gave away all the gold and silver from his house and from the temple, and he didn't have to, is my point. He wasted that. All he had to do was go to the Lord in the first place and say, I'm in trouble, Lord. Please help me. But instead, he chose man. And this is what the prophet had to say in verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyan not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And he goes on to say, in this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have war. So the very thing that he did, trying to use man to stop wars, actually brought more wars on him. He should have been stuck with the Lord. He was doing so fine. That's something that we can all get from that too. As Christians, you know, we can still be punished. You know, there's some people saying, oh, it's once saved, always saved. Oh, I'm always going to. Don't ever believe that. we could still be punished. Think about that. Israel, they asked for a king. They had a king. God was their king, and he was blessing them richly. But that wasn't good enough for them. Samuel was getting old in 1 Kings. And they didn't want, they didn't want Samuel's sons to take over, even though they forgot about Nadab and Abihu. They forgot about Eli's sons. And Eli, the Lord would have took care of them, even though Samuel's sons were the way they were. But instead, they say, let us have a king. We want to be like everybody else. Instead. So God told Samuel, to go tell him what a king will do. And you know what? The burden God was putting on him, if you want to call it that, was nothing compared to what a king was going to do. But they said, okay, let us have that anyway. And within 120 years, Israel was broken up, never to be the same again, fighting one another, all because they wanted to rely on man rather than relying on God. We have a king. We have somebody who already hears us, who already knows what we need. And we should always keep our minds and our sight on that. When we rely on man to help us instead of God, we are gambling with our blessings and the inheritance. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And as he delighted in his way. Psalms 37:23. I have been young and now and old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Psalms 37:25. Now you notice it says, have not seen the righteous forsaken. There's a lot of mess going out there. But if you keep your sights on God, if you keep doing what he asks you to do, he will be there for you. You know, none of us in here are starving. We might not be eating what we want to eat, but we ain't starving. We need to remember, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Psalms 37:39-40. Again, it's talking about how God will help us. God will help righteous people. God will help his people. We just got to have that faith that he will. We have to wait and have that patience on the Lord to do things in his time. A lot of times that's our problem, is we want him to do things in our time. He's going to do things in his time, and his time is always right. We should have Paul's attitude. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11. And he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. If we just would just trust God and just give him a chance. And as Christians, I know we're trying to do our best. And I'm not saying we're not, but we do need to keep this in mind. We do need to be told sometimes that God is the one that we need to be relying on, and only God. Man's not going to do nothing for us. Everybody's getting all worried about Trump and about everybody else. Just pray to God. Also, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content with what God gives you, trying to do God's will, that's great gain. Sometimes we lose sight of what the true prize is, and that's heaven. We're too busy trying to make a life for ourselves down here, and we forget about it. In verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, he goes on to say, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And it goes on to say in verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We have to remember that riches. And let me tell you something else about Lotto and about riches. If God wants you to be rich, believe me, you will be rich. If God wants you to be a billionaire, you'd be a billionaire. And it wouldn't go through the Lotto. But you would be one. I have that faith. I know God would. Verse 10 of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. It goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, some of those people who win the lotto, if you ever seen that one show, their lives aren't fantastic. Their lives aren't great. There's a man that got murdered not too long ago over on the East Coast, won the lotto, and then somebody killed him. There's people who make great promises about, oh, I'm going to do this for the church, and I'm going to do that for the church until they get that money. Oh, it sounds good, but it's going to draw you away. Most people who get a lot of that money and get a lot of these things, their families are destroyed. Nobody wants to talk to them. And the ones who do, you can't trust them. Because you don't know if they're doing it sincerely or they're just out after your money. How do we know? Many, many sorrows can happen. And just trying to get there, you sit there and you're wasting all your money. I know some people pay $50, $60 a day gambling. When that could go to lots of other things that God had blessed them with that money to do. Verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We have a job to do. Our job is to live the Christian life and teach the Christian life. We are to show people what it is like to live as God wants you to live. We need to stop worrying about stuff we already have. You know, we already have it. We just want better. We're already blessed the way God wants. The way God wants. Maybe you're not rich. And maybe it's for the better. Because of just what I just said a little while ago. You know, riches a lot of times change people. Oh, we all have good intentions. Not to say we don't. But that's until the money actually falls in our hands. Then the devil steps in. And then the money, well, I don't know if I'm going to give as much as I said. Or, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And them people at the church, they ain't acting right. I'm not helping them. They do that. I don't know what them brothers going to do with the money. And let me go on. I've heard that before. You know, if you got an old car, I got an old car, 11 years old, but it runs. It gets me here and there, to and fro, got me here today. I'm blessed. If you got an old house, I got an old house. I think our house was built in 1932. Holes everywhere. I've been trying to plug them up for the past year. It still keeps me warm, still keeps us dry. We're blessed. So what if I eat off-brand food? So what if my clothes aren't name brand? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, I used to get teased a lot when I was a kid because we couldn't afford it. I couldn't get the All-Stars and all this that other people used to get teased. But we were blessed. I had shoes. My mom might have had to go out every 2 weeks and buy me a new pair because they tore up that quick. But I had shoes on my feet. And I was happy. And I was blessed. And still am. A good job or a job, even though it ain't the one you want, you're still blessed. I never thought I'd be in pest control. I never thought I'd be crawling down in the nasty crawl spaces, getting up in attics and doing all the stuff I'm doing. But I am blessed to have a job. And I'm blessed to be able to do what the Lord would have me do with that job. So let's take what we have. Let's feel as though let's know that we are blessed with what we have. Let's allow God to, if we're going to have anything better, let's let God do that for us. We don't have to sit up there and help him out. Like I said before, sometimes he might know us. He might know that we don't need that. He might know what it might draw us away from him. Everything that the Lord gives us is a blessing. Everything. And you think you've done something, you ain't done nothing. All that's from God. Well, I can do what I want because this is mine. Is it? Think about it. Sometimes we play with the Lord. Sometimes we gamble with his word. Sometimes we take all our stuff and we just throw it away. Even though we know that the odds are, if we're going to play the odds, that the Lord is always 100% right. 100% right. If you're going against God, you're going to lose. Each and every time. So why try? If you're not a Christian, you know, that's kind of tough. Non-Christians are blessed too. But sometimes they don't realize it. And at the same time, sometimes non-Christians are in a bad state and they don't realize it neither. Because they haven't sought the Lord. Or they haven't sought the Lord the way the Lord would be sought. Let's look at Matthew's for a second. Matthew's chapter 6. And this is real familiar, but it's good to just look at it anyway. Matthew's chapter 6. Verse 30, it says, "Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe ye, you, O you of little faith?" It says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things will be added to you." The problem a lot of times with Christians is they're not seeking God. And in order to seek God, you have to do it his way. You have to be obedient to him. David said, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." All you got to do is come to him. All you have to do is, of course you have to ask Jesus into your heart. But you have to repent of your sins. First of all, you have to hear God's word. You have to believe God's word. You have to repent of your sins, saying, "I want to stop doing this worldly stuff that I was doing. I want to change and I want to start doing what God would have me do." Confess Jesus as Lord, the Son of God. Be baptized, washing away your sins. And then you can live a Christian life. You can be right. You can be like the righteous And God will answer your prayers. God will be there for you. Now, he may not be there for you the way you want him to, but he'll be there. Our problem sometimes is he's not blessing us the way we want to be blessed, so we don't see the blessing at all. But he's blessing us all the time. If you got breath, if you're sitting here today, you've been blessed. And if you are not a Christian yet and you're sitting here today, you have been double blessed, because you have once again an opportunity to change your heart, to change your mind, to change your life, to follow him. It's all up to you. And those of us who are Christians, who have been living life, who have been gambling with God's blessings, who have been doing things contrary to God's word, and you're sitting here today, oh, you've been blessed too. You could have died in that sin last night, but you're here today. Think about it. You have another opportunity to change your ways as well. So this is my lesson, and I hope that we at least take it, study what I said, and think about it. And if I'm wrong, please come and tell me. Now let us all, I will turn it back over to the song leader.